Philippians chapter 3, I'll give you time to get there. Philippians chapter 3, preach to you a little bit today about some things. Hopefully this will be encouragement to you. As you know, as Christians and or even if you're here lost or not sure about your salvation, hopefully this will help you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect," which means mature, "but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, we ask now that you speak to us, meet with us, speak to hearts today, Lord. I pray each Christian here will have a desire, Lord, for a closer walk with you. And Lord, I pray for that one that may not have a walk with you, that today will be the day. Lord, they call on your name for salvation. We'll put it in your hands. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is the Power of His Resurrection. I probably, when you think about the resurrection, I know Easter's coming up, and this would probably be good around that time, Easter time, but maybe we wait too long to preach about the resurrection. Just once a year at Easter time is probably not enough. And the greatest single event, in the history of the world, when you think about the resurrection, that somebody resurrected from the dead. I mean, because when you start breaking things down in life, the main things, the things that we might fear or the things that we're not sure of and the things we know that there's, you know, they used to say there was two sure things in life, you know, death and taxes. I guess a good time to preach that around this time of year. But, you know, we know that death is out there, that death's coming one day. We don't know how soon. We don't know how long we have. Dixie being an example, my son-in-law would be another example of not a guarantee of longevity of life. And so we have death. You know, death is something that we kind of fear, that thing there. But when we start thinking about the resurrection, that somebody resurrected from the dead, and that what that was a demonstration of the power of God, the God that created the universe. He created the heavens and he created the earth. He created man, and also that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And there's a lot of religions in the world that are out there that claim to have the truth and claim to have the answer. But there's Buddhists and Muslims and things like that. But listen, nobody has a resurrected Savior, which is the evidence. Really, it's the evidence. It was God's approval that what Christ did to pay for our sins was accepted by God Himself. And that was the sign of the approval of that, was that resurrection from the dead. Jesus lives, and God separated Himself through that resurrection from the false. And the Bible tells us that all those who are saved, who believe, have been crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible tells us, that what happens is there's a spiritual picture there as well, that when we trust Jesus Christ, that our old man, our old self, is crucified with Christ. But unfortunately, what I see in Christianity today, unfortunately, a lot of Christians are still, that's as far as they've gotten in their Christian walk. You know, they've gotten saved, they've been crucified with Christ, and they've stopped. They haven't gone any farther. They haven't been resurrected, out of the grave and walk in that newness of life. But listen, I'm going to tell you, there's just a little bit more to Christianity than what most of us experience. And I've preached that to you before, but maybe it'll sink in this time. There's more to it, that we can go a little farther, in our walk. The same Bible tells us in Colossians 3:1, it says this, "If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." It says if, and it also said seek. Now, it says if you're risen with Christ, it said seek those things which are above. In other words, when we get saved, that's not the end. That's the beginning. Amen. You know, that seek is an action word. And Paul wrote this. He said this one thing. He said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Now, this was an apostle. And apostles had power. They could do some things that humans don't do today. They could heal the sick, heal the blind, heal the lame. They could raise the dead. They could heal leprosy. They could cast out demons. I mean, they had power. And here's the Apostle Paul. He's a saved man, but he's saved. But he says this. He said, you know, that I may know, or I have a desire. I want to know him, Jesus Christ, and I want to know something about the power of his resurrection. That's a desire. And you know, I think that we have to desire to know him better, and we have to have a desire to know the power of his resurrection. And you know, it's a funny thing about desire. If you desire something, nothing will satisfy that desire except the object of your desire. Nothing satisfies except the object of your desire. Now, I thought about this the other day. We've got a softball team up, and we had our first little practice. Had some new people come. That's great. Had some old people come in. You know, it's good with softball and all that. And everybody, those people showed up at softball practice. Why? Because they had a desire to play softball. You know, they had a desire to do it. Now, and that's good. But I think this, think about this now. There's physical things, but there's spiritual. When we get a desire to know the power of his resurrection, some things will change, right? I mean, if we really have a desire, then if we be risen with Christ, then we will seek an action word. We'll do something. You know, and I think when we have that desire, that I think we might have a better turnout at our Wednesday night prayer meetings. I think we might have a better turnout on our Sunday nights and our Sunday schools and our church. I think we'll just have a desire. Because listen, you know, you can't go the same old, same old, same old and expect something different to happen. You know, you can get so far, you know, and it's like, say if you spent your whole, and some of you might have done this, your whole educational life in the first grade. You know, you studied the same thing in first grade, and then you were in the first grade the next year, and you were in the first grade the last, you know. Some of you said, yeah, that was me. But if you never went any farther, what would you learn new? Nothing, right? You'd know all that part. See, a lot of us in our Christian walk, this is it. We got to first grade, maybe second grade, maybe seventh grade, whatever. But we're stuck into one grade, and we haven't advanced our knowledge anymore because we're not going on to the next class. You know, we haven't gotten any farther. We're just stuck in the mode that we're in. And so I think, you know, Paul had a desire to know him and the power of his resurrection. And so I want to talk about what is the power of his resurrection. The very first thing we'll see, it's a converting power. Now the Bible tells us this, that we're all born under sin. In other words, we sin because we're born sinners. That's what sinners do. You know, it's not that we're sinners because we sin. It's the other way around. We commit sin. We're born sinners. We're born under the curse of sin. Part of that is death. We understand that. And so we're born in the grip of it, and we're unable to do it anything about it because we're sinners. And sin separated us from God. Terry said something about Adam when God came and said, Adam, where art thou? Why was Adam and Eve hiding from God? Because they had sinned and they knew it. And man, when man sins, man, he wants to hide from God. He wants to get away from God, but you can't get away from God. But it was a separation there. It was created, not by God, but by man. And so what happens when we're sin, when we're under the grips of sin, guess what controls our desires, our motives, and our actions? It's sin. Sin controls our desires, our motives, and our actions. And we can't do anything about it. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, to pay the penalty for sin, and to redeem us, to redeem man to himself. The thing about it is, though, he didn't force anybody to accept that. You know, it's a choice. God didn't make us puppets. God didn't say, hey, this is it, take it or leave it, or take it and whether you like it or not. But, he gave us a choice to call on Jesus Christ. I mean, and everybody here that's saved, everyone that is saved, that's, you know, you have done that. You had to have done that to be saved. You had to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come in to your life. Now, that's the crucified with Christ part, but there's the resurrection part that happened as well. And so we were through Christ's resurrection. We've been given the opportunity to come back to God, to be forgiven, to be given a new life. It's a converted state. We're still humans. but we've been converted. I read an illustration like this. If you remember your science classes from school, water can be three. It can be a solid, it can be a liquid, it can be a gas. But it's all water, right? It's all the same. You know, you can have ice, you can have gas, you can have vapor. It's all water. It's just been to a new state. We're still humans. But once you're saved and you've been converted, it's a new state. And so the resurrection power gives us the opportunity to live different and not to live like everybody else in the world. That's what God has called it, converted. It means something's changed. And listen, the world's to see it. That's why God didn't save you and take you out of here right away. God saved you and left you here because He wants us to be light. We talked about this in Sunday School Hour. He wants us to be a salt of the earth. He wants us to be a light into the world. He wants us to be different. You know, and so that the world can see the resurrection power of Christ, see the power of God. Listen, Jesus is not going to come back and walk around on the earth in human form anymore. That happened 2,000 years ago and everybody saw it. And I'm going to tell you what, not everybody got saved then either. But what happened here is, we are the witness when somebody says this, man, I don't know what happened to that guy, but he sure changed. I don't know what happened to him. That gives you the opportunity to say, I'll tell you what happened to me. Jesus Christ is what happened to me. And they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you may not believe it, but here I am. You just said I'm different. You don't know what happened. You don't know, but I know. And I'm going to tell you it's Jesus Christ. Boy, when the world sees that, I mean, man, then there's a power there they can't deny it. When they might have said, listen, back in Jesus' day, they said they paid the guards to lie and say that, oh, well, somebody came and stole the body. You know, even though that meant they'd probably lose their life for messing up the guard duty there. They said Jesus came and stole the body. But what happened was Jesus walked around on the earth, and the Bible says that there was 500 people that saw him at one time. Don't tell me he wasn't walking around on the earth. 500 witnesses. Go to court with 500 witnesses and see how that's going to turn out. Huh? You're going to win the case. I'm going to tell you right there. You're going to win when you got 500 witnesses. 500 at one, over 500, the Bible says, above 500. Saw him at one time, and other people saw him in different places. Well, man, I don't believe in the resurrection, but there he is. He's walking just plain as day. He's alive. Thomas even doubted. He said, man, I don't believe it's you. He said, I don't see this. I want to see your hands. He stuck his finger in the palm of his hand. He said, I want to see your side. He said, Lord, my Lord, and my God. He got down on his knees. He said, it's you, man. Huh? We'd have been like Thomas. We'd have been skeptical. We'd have doubted. But when we saw him, we couldn't do anything about it. And what are you going to do? We said, well, I don't know what happened, man, but I'm going to tell you what. He was in the grave 3 days, and now he's out here and he's walking around, man. It's the power of God. You know how gossip spreads in a small town? Man, if somebody popped up over there at Fairview Cemetery, man, your text, your phones would be going off like it was going out of style. Everybody's phone would be ringing. Huh? We just said, man, a lot of people would gossip, the telephone would be going, you'd have messages, man, somebody's walking around alive. They were converted. It's a converting power, converted from one thing to another thing, which is a new thing. The second thing, it's a conquering power. You know, Jesus was flogged, he was stripped, he was crucified, and the world wanted to steal his dignity, it wanted to break him, it wanted to kill him, it wanted to get rid of him, it wanted to destroy him. And seal him in a tomb. Listen, the world's not any different today. What's it doing? Man, we're going to outlaw prayer. We're going to outlaw Bibles. We're going to outlaw you Christians, man. Everything's tolerated in this world today except Christianity. Huh? We want to stomp it out like that's going to stop it. Huh? That's not going to stop it. They put him in the tomb, but the tomb didn't hold him. And what the world wants to do to us, listen, all this world wants out of you. I'm going to tell you right now. I know, I've been out there. I was so naive when I was growing up. Man, I would see good in people. They could be the most evil person in the world. They're all right. You know, I just would kind of try to see good. I mean, I found out. Now the people that look like they're good, you got to watch them, man. Yeah. Huh? You got to watch them, man. I'm telling you what, man, I told you I never did see this guy to call from some guy pleading, needed help and this and that, been here to the church before. Yeah, Pastor Boone, pray with me, this and that. I need some money. I helped him out and I ain't heard from him since. I ain't sure about that. But what I'm going to say is, listen, this is what the world wants out of you. This wants to wring everything it can get out of you. And once it's dry, toss you off to the side. That's all the world wants out of you. Just give me all you got. And they don't care. The world doesn't care nothing about you, man. It's promoting itself. And that's all they wanted out of Jesus. There's a lot of them that just wanted what they could get out of him. There's a lot of people today, they just want what they can get out of him. They want to get some kind of help from the church. They want to get some kind of money. They want to get some kind of healed or get sickness, come in here when they're sick and get prayed for. And then once it's all over with, once they've got what they can get out of it, they're gone. They don't have a commitment to Christ. That's all the world wants. But they just didn't trust him to be saved. You know, I read this right here and I thought it was great. It says, it's not the intellectual difficulty of accepting Christ which keeps men from becoming Christians. It's the height and depth of commitment. It's because Christ challenges him and condemns his life. That's why the problem. See, that's why the world hated Jesus, because there was something there that was good. When you think about Christ that walked on the earth now, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. When he walked, Lazarus ended up dying again. But he raised Lazarus from the dead. Man, he healed lepers, healed blindness, healed sickness, man. Talked nice to everybody, treated everybody good. He loved everybody, and they still killed him. That's the world for you right there. The best thing that ever was in the history of the world, Jesus Christ and the world crucified him and put him in a tomb. Thank God he come out on the third day. Well, I bet you there was some nervous people running around Rome or Jerusalem there, them Romans that crucified him. I bet they was kind of, hey, did you hear the news? That guy you nailed on the cross and put him, he's out. I bet there was some nervous folks, but they killed the best thing that ever was. Let me tell you what, they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. Because listen, there ain't no good thing in us. There's no good thing in us. And even when at our best, and when we are good, when we try to be like Christ, guess what the world said? Oh, you're holier than thou. You think you're better than everybody else. And you know why they say that stuff? Because when you try to live like Christ, your life condemns their life. It's not that we're condemning them; it's just condemning their life. And we're not even doing anything. Listen, Paul said, I just want to know the power of his resurrection. They killed him too. They killed him too. They put him in. He didn't resurrect bodily yet, but he did resurrect spiritually. He's in heaven. He's not sweating it. Listen, it's human nature to put something out of our sight that we don't have to deal with it. How many of you do that, man? How many of you got stuff you know you need to deal with, but it's kind of a hassle, so you just don't deal with it? I'm world famous for doing that. I was looking at my desk today. I got a stack of stuff over on the side of my desk. You know why I stacked up over here? Because I don't want to deal with it. I just don't deal with it. Tomorrow's another day, right? But guess what? Like I said, it's the third day he arose. And we can't stop the resurrection power. You know, when the disciples, after Jesus had resurrected, and the disciples were in the upper room, and they were all meeting together, and they had, back then, see, being a Christian is kind of like today being a Christian. It's just about taking your life in your hands. Is somebody going to be, you know, some law against you or something? But back then, they were killing people for being Christians. We're not that far away from it, probably. But they were killing people. And guess what they were? So they locked herself in the upper room. Jesus just walked right in. He just went right on through the wall, the door, whatever. I don't know what it was. You know why? Because no barriers can stop Christ from coming to us. The world can't stop him. The jail cell can't. Apostle Paul was in jail when he wrote the text I read to you this morning. He was in jail when he said, I want to know the power of the resurrection. He was in jail. I mean, he didn't, but the power of the resurrection, it's not controlled by the circumstances on the outside. The power of the resurrection is dealing with the circumstances on the inside. And so, Jesus walks in. There's no barriers. And what I like about it too, listen, if you're going to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, if you're saved, you're going to serve God, I'm going to tell you what, there's no barriers going to stop you from serving God. There's nothing going to stop you. You go right through the wall as well. That's a resurrection power. The third thing we'll see, it's a conforming power. Romans 8:29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, don't get in a panic over that word, predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his son. He predestinated, in other words, what he did, in God's foreknowledge, he predestinated that everybody that got saved would be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen, I know this is a slow process, you know, that we're being conformed to the image of his son, but he had a purpose for that. And God's desire for those that are saved is to become like Christ in character and conduct. It's a conforming power. Now, this is a thing, you know, a lot I've heard people say, preacher, I remember, this happened lots of times. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. So you don't know. That's a pretty good indication you're not. Not that we're perfect, and not that Satan can't make us doubt. But I'm going to say, and I think he can, I think he does, but I'm going to tell you something right here. Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? And I'm not talking about being, when Paul used that word in the text there, he used that, he said perfect, that means me mature. Well, you know, you mature gradually. And so, what this means is it's not asking, are you perfect? Just like Christ, we're not. We're never going to be exactly in this life like him. But I'm going to tell you what, we should be becoming like him. In other words, something changed about us. Man, our attitudes, our desires, our thoughts. And then when all that changes, I'm going to tell you what, on the outside some things change. No longer look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, because you're not thinking like the world, you're not motivated like the world is. I mean, it's just a whole new, it's all change. It's a conforming power to be conformed, because see, the world is pushing you in its mold. You better look like the world. You better think like the world. This is what the world says. You better act like the world. If you don't fit in our mold, we're going to put a name on you. We're going to call you something. So what? They're going to call you a fanatic. They're going to call you, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, man. We was hippies, man. They called you a Jesus freak. That's what they called you there. You know, hey, man, if you're going to be freaked out about something, you might as well be freaked out about Christ, right? might as well be a Jesus freak. The world wants to conform us to the world, and Christ wants us to conform to it, and you're going to conform to one or the other. You're going to be like Christ, you're going to be like the world. It's just the way it is. And so it's a conforming, it produces a spiritual life. Another thing, it's a confirming power. Confirm means to establish or support the truth of something. And one thing about the resurrection, it confirmed that God was satisfied that what Jesus did for sin, you know, he accepted it, the payment. And we couldn't do anything. You can't appease God by doing good little deeds. You're not going to go out here and live in sin all week long and then do some good deed for somebody and then that gives you like brownie points with God. It's not going to happen. The Bible says that without faith, and that is faith in Jesus Christ, it's impossible to please God. And then yet he says our righteousness, our goodness, or the best we got is like a filthy rag in the sight of God, because we have to put on the righteousness of Christ. Listen, we're not making God happy by good things we do, although we should be good as we can, you know, after salvation and as we conform to Christ, we should do what Christ did. But what happens is that, as far as that payment for sin was concerned, God was satisfied with that because we couldn't pay, in other words. It confirms also that there is life after death. Huh? Boy, that was good news. When Jesus resurrected out of the grave, you mean God is more powerful than death? Yeah. Yeah, he's more powerful than death, boy, because that's the thing, like the older you get, you know, that day gets getting closer and closer. You know, however far off it is, it still gets closer every day. And that if we're crucified with Christ, that on one day that we'll be physically resurrected like him and given a glorified body. Man, that's good news. That's confirmation about that. And that one day we're going to be given a resurrected, a glorified body like Christ. That's exciting. It also confirmed that he's God. Because once again, nobody had power over that one big thing, death. Listen, in Moses' day, when he went head-to-head with Pharaoh's magicians, they duplicated what Moses did. Moses threw his staff down, or they threw theirs down, and it turned into a snake. He threw his down, and it turned into a snake, even though his ate that one. But they both could do that. He turned the water into blood. They could turn the water into blood. Magicians, I watched that one guy on television. There's one guy, I can't figure out how he does what he does. There's one of them guys, you ever see him on, like, Geographic Channel, one guy, think of any number, 1 to 1,000. And he tells the guy, he looks at the guy, he said, 333. The guy goes, that's exactly what he was thinking about. I don't know, man. It's kind of freaky, man, how he does that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what he can't do. Can't raise nobody from the dead. He can't raise a dead man up, man. I mean, that's where God like separated himself from all the rest. There's no other religion has arisen Savior, and the world has seen no other power like the resurrection power. Listen, Jesus was a great teacher, but our hope and power is not based on his teachings. He was a great miracle worker, but our hope and power is not based on his miracles. It's based on the resurrection. Do you know him? Paul said, that I may know him. Now, Paul knew him, but he wanted to know him better. How do you get to know somebody better? You spend time, conversation, you know, whatever. You know, he wanted to know him, and he meant personally, more intimate knowledge of this person. You know, he said this in our text in Philippians 3:14. He said this, he said, I press toward the mark. I was talking a little earlier in the message about desire. That word press there, it's the Greek word, it means where he strained. You ever get the straining? You ever ran, like you run a race and you see a runner? Man, they're getting to the finish line, and I mean, they got their neck stuck out and the veins are molded. You just, you know, you're straining with every inch of your muscle to get to the finish. That's what he said. I'm going to tell you what, we want God like that. When we want to have a knowledge of Christ where we're straining every muscle, when it's effort. See, we've gotten so, you know, like I said earlier, we got saved, and that's it, man. We're just kind of sitting around. We're not straining towards anything. We're not pressing towards anything. Paul said, listen, no, I want to know. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He had a visual experience with Christ. And he said, listen, I still want to know. After the resurrection, the Bible tells us that Jesus was seen alive of over 500 at one time. And Jesus told the disciples before Pentecost, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry there. I want you to wait. And when on the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 disciples present, but over 500. Somebody said this, so where was the other 380 plus? Where were they at? They saw him resurrected. They saw him resurrected, but they didn't. Did they not believe, or they didn't trust, or what happened? In 1 Corinthians 15:6, the Bible says there that when it's talking about that same one of those same things, it said that some are falling asleep. You see, not everybody that saw the resurrected Christ is walking in the resurrection power. And see, not everybody, I don't believe everybody, and because of the way Paul asked that question, I don't think everybody that's saved today is walking in the resurrection power. Amen. Huh? That ain't amen because that's a good deal either. That's an amen because it's the truth. We're not walking in the resurrection power. Why? Because we're not pressing towards that mark. We're not striving for that mark. We're not desiring anything more than what we got. Come satisfied and complacent. He said, listen, strive to walk in the resurrection power. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah told him three times, he said, stay here. He said, no, man, I'm not staying. He said, I'm going with you. And he said, I'll tell you what I want a double portion of the Spirit that's on you. I want a double portion. And Elijah said, listen, you ask a hard thing. It's not because Elijah couldn't give it to him to start with. Huh? But he said, listen, and God gave it to him. He gave him that double portion. But you know what happened? He had desire. He had desire. He wanted it more than anything. He said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that's on you. And man, I'm going to tell you what, God gave it to him. It was a desire. Not everybody got it. Just him, because he wanted it. What about you? Let me ask you this, man. You know, what about your salvation? You know, are you being conformed into the image of Christ? We talked in our Sunday school lesson too about the Israelites were stiff-necked. That means when the reins were pulling them one way or the other, the old oxen, they'd try to steer them, they'd get stiff-necked, they'd hold their head still, and they wouldn't go. And see, what happens is the Holy Spirit of God convicts us through the preaching of the Word and speaks to our hearts. What happens is we got our heads and our hearts hard and our necks are stiff and we won't turn to the Word of God. We say, no, I'm not going to do it no matter what. See, then I got to wonder about your salvation. You know, I got to wonder because the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling the believer. Man, there's a dynamic there that, you know, there's a dynamic change. Man, I mean, you can't be saved and something not happened to you. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. You may go a little slower than somebody else, but I think you're going to be slowly being conformed into the image of Christ. Yeah. And remember this, not everybody that saw the physical Jesus, saw the miracles He did, heard the words that He spoke, a lot better preacher than what you got. They heard Him, they didn't trust Him. But I'm going to tell you what, anybody that desired it, He never turned down a single soul that called on His name and was sincere about it. He never turned them down. He never rejected them. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be saved, there's nothing stopping you from being saved except you. Huh? God's done it all, man. He sent His Son. He died. He resurrected. He walked around. He was seen of over 500 witnesses. He sent His Holy Spirit. He sent His Word. It's all right there. You got a church. You got a preacher. You got an altar. Huh? If you don't get saved, brother, you don't have no excuse when you stand before God one day. I'm going to tell you that. It's all in your hands right now as far as accepting what God has done or calling on His name. God's calling you. God's speaking to you through the preaching of His Word. It's up to you. And listen, if you're here and you're saved and you're not living in the resurrection power, I'll tell you why. Because you don't desire it either. Huh? You don't want to. If you want to, listen, and if you have a desire, human beings are funny like that. It's whatever we want, we're going to get it. Now, if you want it, you can have it. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. We have the invitation song. If you come to the altar, if you need to be saved, get my attention. We usually have quite a few that come.